Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day. And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's Monday in Sin City, and you are watching Vegas Sports Day, the pulse of the sports betting world. I'm your host, Teddy Covers, joined as always by my esteemed colleague, the Professor Dave Malinsky.
Coming up today, how a college football coach is seeing red when you otherwise would think that he's happy. We're going to make the logical case that more cannot be less. And do you think we're going to start without Bob Seger? Hell no. Today we're going to use a little old-time rock and roll to introduce an NFL statistic that you're not charting, but you should be.
Dave, coming off another wild weekend of football action, what's your first take on what you saw over the past couple of days?
Yeah, unfortunately, the first take is not a positive one, but it's just one of those memorable ones that you have if you do what we do. By now, a lot of people will know that South Carolina turned a point spread result inside out when Steve Spurrier took an intentional safety at the end of the game at Mississippi State. Here's what's going through your mind, though, when you see this unfolding. You're watching the play clock as each play is snapped in that final sequence. Because in your mind, you know two things. If they get down to the last play with 7 seconds or more, they're going to punt and you're okay. If it's 3 seconds or less, they can kneel down and you're okay. But if you're stuck at 4, 5, or 6, the right thing to do is for Spurrier to take that safety. And when the officials whistled the next to last play dead, you could see it coming and it unfolds like a train wreck. Teddy, your first impression from the weekend, and I hope it's a better one than the one I carry away.
But no question, Dave. I mean, my first impression for the weekend has to do with NFL teams coming off a bye week. We saw a 1-4 straight up, 2-3 ATS mark from teams coming off that bye, Dave. And we saw some changes in how teams are going to approach the bye week in the new collective bargaining agreement. Bottom line, players have to get at least 5 consecutive days off during that 2-week bye week, which is something that wasn't in any type of old agreement. So the days of seeing NFL teams fully focused and prepared and spending 2 weeks on an opponent, those weeks are over. And now that the bye week rules have changed. And Dave, I think certainly from what we saw in yesterday's action, a lot of the teams coming out of the bye, you know, the Redskins didn't look good. The Rams didn't look good. Some really ugly first halves. You know, Baltimore in a dogfight to beat Houston. We saw a lot of teams coming out of the bye that didn't seem to be at 100%. Something to watch moving forward as the bye season for NFL.
Actually, was there a little difference? Did Minnesota use their 5 consecutive off days on a playing week the way they looked against Chicago?
That's the way the Vikings have played all year, at least for a half in just about every game. So I'm certainly not shocked by the results we saw last night, Dave. But let's transition right now into Market Watch to talk about where the lines have opened. And we have opening numbers for the World Series. Let's start with the series price. Oddsmakers, a little bit of a mistake, shall we say. Now, they were in debate about how big a road favorite to make the Texas Rangers. This line opened as low as minus 135 in some spots. Dave, it's sitting at minus 160 right now, and the money continues to come on the Texas Rangers to win the World Series over St. Louis. And, of course, we also have Game 1 numbers up. St. Louis at home, minus 120, 7.5. Carpenter versus Wilson. We will break down the World Series more on Tuesday, and of course, and game number one in our opening segment. I'm sorry, in our Money Time segment on Wednesday. But Dave, what do you think on these first numbers for the World Series?
Well, first note that 160 is actually climbing as we take the air. There are some 65s out there already. They underestimated the public appeal to Texas. Part of it being on Texas, looking at a team that's got experience from last year, had a dynamic season. The one weakness the Rangers did have, that bullpen, they took care of that as the season went on. So it's a very dynamic Texas team that gets the eyes of the marketplace. But more of this, I think, is that people simply do not respect St. Louis yet. Take a look, not just at what St. Louis did in the playoffs, but go back and look at those series against Milwaukee and Philadelphia in the last 6 weeks leading up to the playoffs. They took on the cream of the National League multiple times, won multiple times. They still haven't convinced anyone yet. It's been a long time since we've seen a team playing this well with a home field advantage, getting this little respect.
No question, Dave. But what else we got for right now? NFL totals. What do you want to tell us?
We've been wondering about when we were going to see the pendulum shift in NFL totals. And not only did they shift yesterday, they shifted dramatically. To recap a little bit, the first 5 weeks of this season, much higher scoring. Oddsmakers missing on a couple of ways. The defenses weren't as ready to play in week one as expected. They hadn't been used to contact with the training camps being so much shorter. So the bettors were ahead of the oddsmakers. The bettors win the totals. The oddsmakers adjust high. The bettors come in and win the overs again next week. Crashing halt yesterday. 9-3 to the under. Those 12 games falling 58.5 points below the projections. You had six teams in the NFL score one touchdown or less offensively yesterday. And you only had two teams in the NFL reach 30. So now here comes a conundrum. Okay, the odds makers see the pendulum is shifting back a little bit. The defenses are picking their game up as they get more practice time in. But now, do you shift back to pre-2011 levels, or do you shift back a couple of weeks? Teddy, are you looking at now at last year's data a little bit more for it to flow back to there, or just a little regression off of the first 5 weeks going too high?
Gut reaction is I'm not really worried about last year's numbers. I'm looking as a gut reaction for this season. Maybe we've seen the numbers come just a little bit high and we'll see a regression to the mean, but I'm certainly not expecting a dramatic shift downwards in the totals. The new offensive systems in the NFL, the new rules, and the new emphasis on the defensive enforcement penalties is going to result in a long-term continued trend towards higher scoring ball games.
Where we do have one thing that does remain a factor that hurts the offenses a little bit, take a look at the board this week. 13 games on the NFL board. There will be 11 quarterbacks in those 13 games who were not the starting quarterback with their teams last year. We've got a lot of rookies out there. We've got a lot of guys like Kyle Bowler, John Beck, that we're going to talk about later in today's show, being forced into roles that they're not accustomed to. And it actually starts tonight in New York with Matt Moore, who we're going to talk about not only in the Inside the Number segment, but when we get to Money Time, we're going to break down Matt Moore and what he can do for that Miami offense.
You are a huge part of the show. We value your contributions, and frankly, we need your feedback. Send us an email. We're going to answer emails on air every single day. Email address sportsday@covers.com. Again, sportsday@covers.com. We've got a toll-free listener rant line. Craziest rant goes on the air every single Wednesday. That toll-free number, 866-966-4599. And, of course, get involved in the covers.com community. Active threads going right now in the covers.com posting forums. When we come back, post-mortem.
Are you looking for the latest odds, the fastest scores, the most important trends, and the best matchups and stats? Are you looking for the key late-breaking information that can make you a winner? Well, covers.com has the answer. The world's largest sports betting community gives you a front-row seat in the heart of the action. From the opening lines to the final scores. If you want to stay ahead of the game, Covers covers the numbers.
Hey, I'm Al Mann. Is that how you get them to do that all the time? Just sit there and be an ass. Is that it? Hey, I'm Al. Hey, I'm Al Mancini at Top of the Food Chain. You are watching the Vegas Video Network. We got big forks, big spoons. I got a big mouth. I got no guests.
Guys, time to scrub up. Let's get those surgical gowns on. It's time for the postmortem, where we're going to take you deep inside the game each day to show you things you should have seen, but probably didn't.
Here's what you saw with the Oklahoma Sooners in Saturday night's 47-17 win over Kansas. You know, no reason to do much more with Oklahoma than take their pulse and their temperature. Obviously, it's a rout. They win by 30. You just file the score away. Saw the position in the BCS standings and say, hey, if Oklahoma wins out, they're going to be playing the winner of the SEC in the national title game. So we look at the score, Dave. Looks like everything's fine in Sooner country, right?
What do we wish that BCS championship game was next week? Because we see something we can certainly take advantage of with an Oklahoma team that shows a major flaw that, again, is not going to show up in the lines each week. It's not going to show up in the BCS ratings. But it certainly will show up when they have to play an Alabama, you know, or an LSU, or perhaps even a Wisconsin or a Stanford. Let's talk about the red zone offense. We started to see this weakness a couple of weeks ago against Florida State when they had to kick two field goals in the red zone. When they played Texas, two more field goals in the red zone. And note that for all the points they had on the board against the Longhorns that day, there were three defensive touchdowns. But then Saturday night against Kansas, a scoreboard that would ordinarily not require a double take, there were four field goals kicked in the red zone by Oklahoma against Kansas. To note how bad that is, coming into that game, Kansas had allowed 31 touchdowns this year and only two field goals. And one of those two was a time field goal at the end of the first half against Georgia Tech. They didn't stop Tech. Tech kicked it because the clock was running out. Not only did Oklahoma kick four field goals in the red zone, there were three kicked inside the 10-yard line. That's six inside the 10 for the season. They run that spread offense awfully well around most of the field. But without the ability to run when you get near the goal line, there's a major flaw that's going to show up sooner or later. We don't often focus on the fans in football games. You see the attendance counts in the box scores, and that's pretty much all you think about. But there's something a little bit different happening in the Motor City right now, and we couldn't help but have a little bit of Bob Seger, you know, humming in the background as we break this one down. It's not just the case of having more fans make your team play better. That's kind of a no-brainer. But every once in a while, we find a particular setting in which those crowds impact a game in a way that you might not pick up in a box score. It's time to play a little Seeger in the background. Don't forget the Motor City. And let's look at what's really happening in Pontiac.
Well, what we've seen over the last two games for the Detroit Lions, Dave, some pretty remarkable numbers. The Bears and the 49ers. Lions only went 1-1 in those games, straight up NATS. But the Bears and the 49ers combined for 29 penalties and 224 yards in those two contests. That penalty number includes a whopping, and yeah, literally, a whopping 14 false starts from the two opposing offensive lines. So what do we have here? Pass rush plus great crowd equals major problems for an offense, particularly offenses that are struggling in any way with their passing games. This Lions defense has the potential to be a purple people leader type defense, a steel curtain, a fearsome foursome. The legendary defensive fronts from the 1970s may be back in Detroit for 2011, and with the crowd making noise. Again, Jim Schwartz, the Lions embattled head coach after a little controversy yesterday with Jim Harbaugh, but the bottom line is Schwartz gave the fans the game ball after the win against Chicago, called them the 12th man. This Lions home field hasn't been worth anything, Dave, for the better part of the last decade. It's worth something right now.
We've only moved into our new digs today, and the mailman has found us already. So when we come back, we're going to read a little viewer mail. And to get involved, how about this? The first five who can identify the original fearsome foursome win something. We don't know what. We'll see what we got laying around that we can give away. We're also going to take a trip inside the numbers that'll get you started on tonight's Miami New York Jets breakdown. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Hi, I'm Chris Phillips from TalkTales, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And if you stop by the studio, our producer Scott's going to buy everybody a drink.
Before we go inside the numbers today, let's start with viewer email. And yes, we got one, so we're going to respond to it on air. This email comes from Jason somewhere in cyberspace. Jason asks, hey guys, heard about your concept this weekend, and I'm looking forward to the show. My first question comes from a fantasy football standpoint, and I hope you do address this type of stuff. Yes, Jason, we will address fantasy questions. I have a chance to cheaply get John Beck on my roster, but I'm not sure if I should pull the trigger or not. How do you think Mike Shanahan plays this out?
First, we should say, guys, that emails are not just for questions, but also for, you know, gift cards and other things available through that medium these days. It's a good question, but it's also a difficult one to answer. Should Beck get a chance to start for Washington right now? Yes, you want to find out if he has the upside to be an every week NFL starter. You know who Rex Grossman is at this point. That's all there is. You're going to have to deal with those little peccadillos. But here's the problem Mike Shanahan has. The Redskins are 3-2. They're in contention for a playoff spot. If they believe as the season unfolds that they can get into the playoffs and the slow starts by the Giants, Eagles, and the Cowboys certainly keep them in the hunt, that could cause that temptation to maybe go back to Grossman if there are late season pressure games where they might want the veteran. So yeah, we think Beck would get the start this week. We think he should. But whether he gets every start the rest of the way, you know, we can't answer that one yet.
Of course, you can reach us every day via email and also chat live in the Covers.com posting forum. And while you're in those forums, you're just a click away from the Covers King of the World Series Showcase. Ooh, King of the World Series. Showcase your baseball knowledge, and you can put $1,000 cash in your pockets. You can play free right now. Dave, time to go inside the numbers. What have your research assistants cracked up for us today?
I have research assistants.
And they're cracking up, too.
I wondered who those guys were knocking on the door this morning wanting in. I thought they were just salesmen.
The bill collectors, yeah.
We don't want those either right now. Let's go inside the numbers to talk a little bit about what we're going to see in New York tonight. Matt Moore is going to make his first start at quarterback for Miami. So many times when that happens, we have to make an adjustment. The odds makers do, the bettors do, because so many times it's a downgrade when a quarterback steps in. But when we look at the way that Chad Henne had performed, you wonder, okay, could there be a downgrade here? We had a classic when we were working with a sports book, helping set numbers about 12 years ago, where a college football team got shut out 2 weeks in a row, and they announced a quarterback change. And the guy said, well, what do we adjust for it? Like, okay, if they didn't score 2 weeks in a row, you can't adjust down. Well, let's take a look at something that's pertinent tonight. Let's go inside the numbers and take a look at the last two trips where the Miami offense has gone into New York to face the Jets. When we go inside the numbers, you find 118 snaps in those two games, 235 yards, four turnovers, and two touchdowns. They had consecutive trips of 131 yards and 104. Why do we bring that up? Two reasons. It's the lowest two-game total in NFL history for consecutive division games at an opponent site. And part two, they won both of those games, even with that putrid offensive performance.
Yeah, hard to win both of those games when you're averaging less than 2 yards per play. When we come back, the news you need to know in our Insider Six-Pack.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Time to drop six tidbits of knowledge about the coming weekend's card with this Insider Six-Pack. Let's start with item one. From South Carolina, the Gamecocks still hold control of the SEC East. If they win out, they will play for the SEC title. But unfortunately for South Carolina, they suffered a massive injury loss this past weekend. Marcus Latimer, the star running back for Steve Spurrier and company, he's going to be out for the year with a torn ACL. Where does this leave South Carolina? Well, they have a bye week before their back-to-back SEC road games. And it looks like true frosh Brandon Wilds is going to step into that number one spot on the depth chart. They're hoping that junior Kenny Miles is going to be healthy enough with his bad wrist to take some snaps as well. So big concerns for South Carolina when it comes to the running back situation.
There's absolutely no way I'm doing that sound effect. So we move on. If you were a little bit hazy late Saturday night and you're watching Oregon and Arizona State late on ESPN, you might not have even noticed that LaMichael James and Darren Thomas weren't on the field in the second half. Thomas out for most of the final two quarters. James didn't play at all. Yet the Ducks ring up 41 points, 536 yards. The reason for that, they're awfully deep at the skill positions. Kenjon Barner, who looks like James at time, not quite as quick, but a stronger runner, 31 carries, 171 yards. But now look at the real explosive guys coming off the bench. The Anthony Thomas, maybe the best freshman running back in the country. You won't know it because he won't get enough carries in this offense. 7 carries at 10.5 yards per clip. and a dynamic young quarterback, Brian Bennett, 5 carries for 65 yards. He averaged 13 yards per clip. So we wanted to think we had something. Okay, these superstars are out. We could sneak in a play this week against a depleted Colorado defense because these young guys may be every bit as talented. Nobody's fooled. Right now, Oregon already as high as minus 33 in the early trading.
And while we're going to talk about lots of high-profile stuff here on Vegas Sports Day, we're also going to break down the smaller schools. And look at Memphis and Tulane, for example, a game that is off the board for this coming weekend. Why? Well, much lesser injuries than the one we're talking about with future NFL talents like LaMichael James. That being said, there are key injuries to talk about in this ballgame, and it's certainly given the oddsmakers a very reasonable excuse to keep the game off the board. Let's start with Memphis. They played without starting running back Billy Foster and starting wide receiver Marcus Rucker versus East Carolina this week. Oh, and they found a way not to cover the number at the end of that ballgame. Starting quarterback Taylor Reed, was only able to see limited action off the bench with a bruised sternum. Reed likely to be back on the top of the depth charts this week. The real story from a betting standpoint is the question mark surrounding Tulane quarterback Ryan Griffin. He left early on Saturday with a bruised hip. He may be given a couple of days to rest. He may be given a couple of weeks to rest. Dave, we're going to have to find out what Griffin's status is before we see a number up on this game later in the week.
What if they just don't post one? Memphis Tulane, just don't post. See how many people actually complain about it. They like the excuses to keep that on because that's actually a difficult game to price the way those teams are playing right now. If you saw the Steelers in the second half yesterday, they didn't look like the Steelers, did they? Jacksonville outscores them 10-0 after intermission, and Pittsburgh was just literally hanging on at the end of the game. Prime reason for that, a defense that opened the game with 3 Pro Bowlers on the sidelines was also without Troy Polamalu at the end. Polamalu is going to undergo tests today for a possible concussion. We know in the past the impact that he's had on that defensive unit. When he's out, there is a big, big difference. Also in the offense center, Doug Ligurski goes down early in the game, left them with only 6 active offensive linemen. And note they were playing their 6th different group in 6 weeks. That line doesn't have a whole lot of cohesion. In the second half, where they wanted to just run the ball, work the clock, and salt the game away, all they could do was just hang on. The Steelers, a very battered team right now.
Yeah, and, I have made my sound effect, Dave. Yeah, that's, six back.
That's enough for one.
It's a little six pack, man.
Remember, you have to drive home afterwards.
I'm not drinking. I'm just opening up beers over here on the set, or virtual beers. Let's go to St. Louis, where we've got the updated injury information about quarterback Sam Bradford. The Rams, yeah, they've had a very, very rough start to the season so far. And Bradford, yesterday, complaining of a sore ankle. There were question marks about his ability to go this week. But all of a sudden, Monday morning, Brandon Lloyd, who is a kid from Kansas City, he went to Illinois, so he's from the area. Now he's returning home to St. Louis, impact wide receiver, potentially, for a Rams team that is desperate for wide receiver help. And all of a sudden, now that we have Brandon Lloyd arriving in St. Louis, well, looks like Sam Bradford's ankle feeling a little bit better. He's likely to go this weekend.
Flip side of that game is the Cowboys still can't get everyone healthy. Yesterday's game at New England was one of the few times on offense and defense that they were close to the full roster. Now they lose Felix Jones for at least 1 week at running back. Got a couple of replacements that have talent, Tashard Choice, D'Angelo Murray. The difficulty, though, that they face, especially with a young offensive line that's struggling to find their cohesion, getting pass blocking against the blitz from those young running backs, that could be a hole for them this week. We sure miss Al Davis today because the next 24 hours could be a whole lot of fun. Oakland loses Jason Campbell with a broken collarbone yesterday. Aren't likely to see him back until the playoffs at the earliest. We mention the word playoffs because here's where the drama unfolds for the Raiders in the next day. Trading deadline, 4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. Right now they have to see themselves as a contender, not only in the AFC West, but for the wild card. So here are your decisions. Is Kyle Bowler good enough if you believe you can make the playoffs? Answer is probably no. Phone is ringing in Cincinnati. The Raiders are going to make a push for Carson Palmer, possibly bringing in Mark Bulger for a tryout this week. David Girard also being listed on that front. And if you fail there, and Bowler is your starter, which again, you might be able to live with, he has experience, you've got to bring in someone ahead of Terrell Pryor as the backup. Most likely Trent Edwards who played some in the preseason with the Raiders this year, knows the playbook a little bit. Where this gets interesting is it's twofold. The Bengals have said they will not trade Carson Palmer. But, Teddy, forget the Raiders for a minute. If you're Cincinnati, you're playing well. You've got something to build around. Get a draft pick.
Oh, I mean, if Mike Brown was a rational individual, we would probably see the Cincinnati Bengals look to trade Carson Palmer to Oakland this week. It makes sense for both sides. But given the history of Cincinnati, given the history of Mike Brown, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Gerard, the likely choice for who we're going to see in Oakland, and maybe, Dave, just maybe, see the possibility of Kyle Orton, maybe a Kyle Orton trade with Denver. That, the Broncos certainly looking to get Orton's $5 million salary off the books. And he's probably as good or better than anything that the Raiders are going to pick up off the waiver wire.
The Kyle Orton move actually would make a lot of sense. And not only does Denver get rid of some of that contract, but it also takes pressure off of Tim Tebow, who knows that he won't have Orton looking over his shoulder. So you can allow the experiment to play itself out the rest of the year. But yeah, if you're Mike Brown, it's an ego battle to this point. There wasn't a win in the Carson Palmer negotiations. Here's a win now. You can go out and pick up a draft pick for a team that maybe doesn't make the playoffs this year, although Cincinnati is going to be in contention for a while, but could certainly be a playoff contender next year.
Bottom line is, Dave, we don't want to be caught in a situation where we're going into ego battles with billionaires. When we come back, we're going to put all this information to work for you. It's money time.
Oh, hello there. My name is Brandon Gooch Hahn, host of Awkward Silence 2.1. And when I'm not living vicariously through Chris Phillips, I'm on VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Okay, guys, it's money time! Let's go to the Meadowlands, where the Jets tonight, -7 against the Miami Dolphins, total 42, and a lot of money coming in on the under in this ballgame, certainly over the last 12 hours. Dave, what's your first take on Jets and Dolphins tonight?
Every day when this segment opens, you've got a mute button. I don't. I'm sitting right here. It starts with Matt Moore. Yeah, we broke down those last two Dolphin trips to New York, the two worst back-to-back offensive performances in NFL history against a division opponent. Moore can't be any worse than Chad Haney was. In a lot of ways, he's a similar quarterback. He's a guy who can manage a game a little bit. He's not going to make big plays. Will the Jets allow you to manage, though? That's the difficulty. The Jets like to suffocate when they're on their game. They want to get a lot of people in the box. They want to dare you to throw the ball downfield. The problem is the Jets haven't been suffocating anyone this year. They're allowing 4.2 yards per rush compared to 3.6 last year, over a half yard more. Last year, they only allowed 11 rushing touchdowns all season. That's already up to 8 this year. Teddy, where is the Jets' swagger in that defensive front?
Well, the bottom line, the Jets are lacking swagger in a lot of different areas right now, Dave. Let's talk about this quote from Santonio Holmes. It's a quote I'm going to have to read. It's going to take a minute, but I think it's worth reading. Santonio Holmes, Jets wide receiver, saying, quote, "I may be criticized again for saying it, but I think it starts up front. The big guys know it. If they give Mark Sanchez enough time to sit in the pocket and complete passes, I think everything changes. The routes that are being run are short routes. Hey, let's get the ball out of Mark's hands quick. Let's move the ball down the field, and let's go from there. But if you can't protect the quarterback for 4 or 5 seconds, then there's no point in dropping back 7 yards to throw a football when he doesn't have enough time. So we pretty much have to roll with the way the offense is rolling right now. These guys, I'm meaning my offensive line, live in a totally different world than we do. I can sit here and complain as much as I want about protecting our quarterback. Sometimes little things, as far as getting their toe stepped on, can't back into their protection, and their drop back long enough, are some of the things that affect play calling. Like I said, I can complain all day about it. So we've got a Jets team that clearly has some issues on the defensive side of the football. They also clearly have some chemistry issues in the locker room, an offense that isn't working, a passing game that isn't working, frustrated receivers, an offensive coordinator under fire, and yet this team's laying a touchdown tonight, Dave.
When we talk about those Jet problems in the locker room, we have to go back to what happened with Derek Mason last week. Mason got dealt to the Houston Texans for a conditional 7th-round draft pick. We found out what that condition was. He has to average 3 catches per game. Now think about this. You're not going to draft someone in the 7th round who's going to come in and averaged 3 catches per game in the NFL. It's a very bad deal by the Jets. This is a guy who they had signed for $3.81 million for 2 years back in August. That's how badly they wanted Mason out of that locker room. So we see problems that can be exploited here. Let's start with one of the first keys. If they're struggling against the run this year, Daniel Thomas is going to be healthy for Miami tonight. He's only played 2 of the 4 games, but he's played awfully well. He's rushed for over 200 yards in those games, averaging 4.8 per carry. He's a guy who can take some pressure off of Matt Moore. And we're not talking about him going for 100 yards here. We're just talking about it being 2nd and 7 or 2nd and 6 instead of 2nd and 9, at least having an option to run the ball again on 2nd down or throw a short pass. So that's going to be the big key early for Miami. We could say the same thing for the Jets. The Jets need to establish a run early to get a little play action going. But where's that coming from? Sean Green, 3.3 per rush this year. LaDainian Tomlinson, 3.3 per rush. A team that tried to build in the ego of their coach to ground and pound. Teddy, they're getting beat in the trenches on both sides of the ball so far.
And that really is the bottom line right now for New York. And we could talk about the lack of big playability in this ballgame. We've already talked about Miami going with, I don't know, we call Matt Moore a backup quarterback, a third-string quarterback, a guy who never should be starting in the NFL. Well, my bottom line is Miami's going with that type of a QB tonight. And this Jets, this explosive downfield Jets, big play offense, well, the longest touchdown pass this season, 26 yards long. Miami's longest touchdown pass, 10 yards long so far this season. The Jets running the football, 117 running plays so far this season. They've yet to run even once longer than 20 yards. That's one of the reasons those averages for Sean Green and LaDainian Tomlinson are so low. And, of course, the Miami Dolphins defense, the much maligned Dolphins defense that has been burned by the pass all year, they've been pretty good against the run. 105 runs against Miami, none of those runs longer than 20 yards.
So even on a one-game board, we've got something good for you. And you could probably see where we're going with this. Monday is going to be prop night a lot. There are so many different ways that you can beat these games if you study the matchups the right way. Tonight we've got one, and this is a prop that's readily available across the board. Teddy just told you about these numbers. Neither team has had a run of longer than 20 yards all year. The longest touchdown pass either team has had, just 26 yards. This is a ball control game. Work the field position. Settle for field goals. Punt the ball in the hole. Dare the other side to score. So if no one's gambling on big plays, let's go to the play of the day and let's make it a prop. You can find over under around 42.5 yards for the long touchdown to be scored in this game. That looks like a nice undervalue here. Our risk is special teams, possibly a pick six or a defensive score, but these are not quick strike offenses in general. And tonight's particular matchup, neither team is going to be looking to strike big down the field. It's more not making mistakes to give the ball away than making big plays. Let's go under 42.5 yards for the longest touchdown tonight as the Vegas Sports Day play of the day.
And that's going to wrap up the Monday edition of Vegas Sports Day. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy days to spend with us. For the professor, Dave Malinsky, I'm Teddy Covers. Enjoy the games and good luck. We'll be back again tomorrow.